The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha, and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen.
Daf Chafeh. Today's daf is being studied, Le'elu Nishmat, Mor Zekeni, Yosef Ben Sara, Ve'marad Zekenati, Yafa Bat Sara, Ve'Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihem, Ben Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Asher Ma, Moshe Ben Dina, Moshe Ben Sara, Sara, Ruhama, Bat Rahama, Sara, Bat Rahayel, Ella Nefarenahem, فات النفس وفوات الجوف فواتم كربان ما في خلينا صبر مال أمين ببيجن تريز دافع الخف دالر عمود بيت and we begin the bottom of the amud starting with the words Amar Rav is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah four cases where a get is not written lishma. Let's review the four cases quickly. Case number one was a fellow was walking down the street. He heard a sofer teaching an apprentice how to write gittin, and the names happened to be similar. He wanted to use that get. Mishnah says no good. The names were not written. Not only wasn't written lishma, was not even written lishem girushin at all. The second case where it was a husband was actually writing a get to his wife. Somebody else that had the same name, husband and wife, said he wants to use that get because the first guy decided not to give it. Mishnah says even though it was written l'shem girushin, but it was not written l'shem the right people, no good. Case number three, guy's married to two wives, they both have the same name, one's a gedola, one's a ketana, Rachel a gedola, Rachel a ketana. He's writing the get for his own marriage, but he wants to divorce the gedola. He cannot use it for the ketana, even though it is his get. And case number four was he has two wives, same names, and he goes to the sofer and tells the sofer, just write a get for Rachel Stam. Right? And he says, I'll decide which one I'm going to give it to. So we said, that case is not good as well, even though that case he wrote it, and he didn't commit yet at the time of the writing for the wrong lady. It was Stam. And the hadush of that case is that we do not employ the sevara called berera. We do not say retroactive selection. Using berera, they would say that retroactively at the time that he told the sofer to write Rachel, he meant to Rachel that ultimately got divorced. Therefore, the get was lishma. But if you don't say berera, so it's not good. So we understood in all these cases that the get is pasul legamre. That's not a good get, doesn't work, and there's no ramifications. I mean, it's just not a good get because it's not written the Shema. Now the Gemara is going to tell us, according to some opinions, if somebody would give his wife such a get, there is some ramifications to this get. Amar Rav, Kulan Poslin B'Kehuna. All of them are going to be posel for the kihuna, chutz min harishon, except for the first case, which means if let's say a kohen is married to one of these ladies that we talked about in the Mishnah, and he gives his wife, these gittin, one of these gets that were not lishma, true, the get is not going to allow her to get married. It's not that type of get, but it's enough that if the husband is a kohen, she'll be considered a divorcee that he cannot be with his wife anymore. Except for the first case, which is not even a get at all, because that was just written, a sofer was teaching his student. Now the question over here is, why should she become asura to the husband if it's a kohen? It's not a get. She's not a divorcee, technically. So we have a concept, which we're learning now today, which is called reyach haget. Right? Literally, the smell of a get. The rabbis were osir for kohanim, not only actually actual gittin, but anything that smells like a get, the rabbis also instituted that a kohen is not allowed to stay with such a lady. The Gemara later on Daf Pebet, that she gives the classic example of Re'ah HaGet, where a person, let's say, tells his wife, Hare at megureshet mimeni, behold, you are divorced to me, ve'i at muteret lechol adam, but you're not permissible to anybody else. Now, normally that's not a good get, because it's not a kiritut. You didn't cut, which means you did cut, but you didn't matir her to everybody else. So the Gemara says, paslam min kehuna. That case over there is also paslam min kehuna, because the pasuk says, ve'isha girusha mi'isha. Even if she's only girusha from the husband, even though she's not permissible technically to anybody else, she is pasula to the kehuna. But in the first case of the Mishnah, which was not even written for the sake of gittin, at least according to Rav, he wants to say that it will not posel her from her husband, who was a kohen. Ushmuel amar.
What does she do in this case?
Yeah, right. Then he'll have to give her a legitimate get. That's it. He cannot take her back. He's got to give her a legitimate get.
He gives it to her.
She's forbidden. She's forbidden to the kid, to her husband.
Everybody.
No. Right. Well, she's married. Yeah. Right. Ushmuel amar. Afrishon name posel. Shmuel's even more mahmid than Rav. He says all four cases in the Mishnah are cases of Re'ah HaGet. Even the case that was written as an apprentice and all that, still she's going to be pesula to the kehuna. As the Shmuel the Ta'ameh, Shmuel's following his reasoning. The Amar Shmuel kol makom sheshanu hachamim get pasul. Anytime you see the terminology, according to Shmuel, you see terminology get pasul. Pasul, the get is pasul, meaning it's not going to allow her to get married. However, uposel, it has the ability to posel her from kehuna. Halitza pesula. Anytime you see the terminology halitza by Yibum, right? Halitza pesula. Anytime the terminology is used, pesula. The halitza is a halitza pesula. However, uposalta min ahim. It is going to posel her from the brothers, the other brothers, from making Yibum. Comes the Rashi and explains, halitza pesula. Anytime it says halitza pesula, pesula uposalta. כל מקום ששנינו ביבמות. חליצה פסולה, פסולה להתירה לשוק. Which means it'll be פסולה, she cannot go now marry anybody else to the shuk. Because the חליצה is פסולה, אז לא רשיתי מכה חליצה, she's still connected. So she cannot go marry anybody in the shuk. אבל פוסלת היא אותה מן האחים. But she's פסולה to the brothers שלא תתייבם. That they cannot make ייבום עד כמו עלה... Until somebody makes a legitimate halitza. Bechivan, no, I'm sorry, the kamu ala, because it's been fulfilled on her, bechivan shelo bana shuv lo yivne. Which means once one of the brothers makes a halitza, so already the other brothers already now are not allowed to be bone the bayit. De lo kitiv asher lo bana et bet achiv, el asher lo yivne, kevan shehalatz shuv lo yivne. She's once already, one of the brothers makes a halitza, even if it's a halitza, pesula, already the Torah's law of lo yivneh is intact, and therefore they cannot be boneh through a yibum, they have to make a halitza. So comes the Gemara and says, some laws now. B'ma'arava amre mishemed Rabbi Elazar, semol velayla, pesula uposlot. Some laws of halitza. We learned in Gemara Yibamot that the halitza is done with the right foot, which means she has to take off the shoe of the Yabam's right foot. And also we learned that halitza has to be done in the day. Halitza that's done in the night is pesula. We learned this from Dirashot. The leg we learned from Regil from Mitzora. And also we made a Dirasha for Laila. That's no good. So the Gemara's Hadush of here is that if you did it with the left foot and you did it at night, pisulot, which is the halitza is pisula, which means she's not going to be allowed to go to the shuk, she's not muteret to the shuk, uposlot, but she's still forbidden to the other brothers. It's enough that she'll be asura to the other brothers to make a yibum. However, katan ve'anpilia pisulot ve'en poslot. But let's say the halitza was done by a katan, which the Torah specifically says it's no good. Because when the Torah talks about the halitza, it says ish. He's not an ish, he's a katan. Or let's say a sock was used instead of using a shoe. Now the Torah clearly says that you got to use a na'al. And therefore, since these things are explicitly written in the Torah, and therefore when the person went against them and it was a katan or it was a sock, so not only is the halisa pesula, but in poslot, it's not posil the other brothers are making yibum. Because again, since these things are so explicitly written in the Torah that they're forbidden, that a yibum is not even hal, it's not even a question. And therefore yibum is still an option by the other brothers. Whereas left foot and night is like a dirasha from the pesukim, so therefore it'll osir her to the other brothers for yibum. These things which are explicitly will still make her permissible for a yibum. So far we had two opinions. Let's go back. We had two opinions by the case of the Mishnah, Rav and Shmuel. Again, let's review Rav's opinion. Rav's opinion was that the three cases out of the Mishnah are Reya Hagit, but case number one is not Reya Hagit. And Shmuel says all four cases are considered Reya Hagit, and therefore she's Pesula to the Kehuna. Now he comes to Gemara and gives another Sivara. Ze'iri Amad Kulan En Poslin. He says the first three cases are not possible, are not considered Reya Hagit, Chutz Min Ha'acharon, except for the last case. Why? Right, because to be stringent, we're going to say Berera, which means the last case was what? That he gives it to the Sofer, right, Rahel, I'll decide which one. Now, if you say retroactive selection, Berera, then the get is going to be written Lishma. So Lechumra, I'm going to say that it's Berera, that what? That if the husband was a Kohen, the get's going to be considered enough to osir him to his wife. Let's look at that. She de lechumra amrinan yesh berera upesula lekuna bal inach. But the other three cases afil kulu afil reya haget embaim velo tamu le megureshet meisha velo tira lechol adam da'ila umilta miya lishmo v'lishma nechta. Right, which is the case, the classic case of reya haget, where a guy writes his wife a get and says that, you know, hare at megureshet li, but you're not muteret lechod adam, at least that case was written lishma. So it has some redeeming factor. These cases in the Mishnah, they were not even written lishma, so they're worse. Therefore, according to Ze'ili, there's no reya haget at all. Now we get a fourth opinion. Well, actually, we have a concurrence here. Vechen amar ba'aseh, kulan en poslin, chutz min acharon. Rav Aseh and Ze'idi are saying the same thing. The first three cases are not Reya Haget, except for the last case. Now we get to the fourth case. V'Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Af Acharon Nameh Eno Posel. Rabbi Yohanan says there's no Reya Haget Bechlal in this Mishnah. All four cases, the Kohen is permissible to his wife. V'Az Rabbi Yohanan Neta'ameh. Rabbi Yohanan is following his reasoning. D'Amar Rav Aseh Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Ha'achim Shehalku Lekuhot Hin. Let's review a law. We have a law that says if a person, let's say, buys something, a piece of land in Eretz Israel, a piece of real estate, at the time of Yovel, that's the Jubilee year, that's the 50th year of the Shemitah cycle, all properties are returned to their original owners. Now, this law applies to something that is purchased. But now we discuss a case of, let's say, you have a Yerusha, you have an inheritance. What happened? The father did not designate exactly the portions to his children, which means their father died. And what did they do? The brothers now divided the portions, which means, how do they divide the portions? I'll take this, and connected what I take, you'll take a portion that is compatible. That's the same portion. So they look at that like a likuhot. Because the way they're dividing it is, they're assessing what each property is worth, and each one's taking something connected with the other brother's taking based on the same value. If you look at them as lekuhot, as a purchase, so what happens is when the yovel comes, so we say all of the properties go back to the original owner, meaning the father, because he was the original owner, and then what happens, they have to divvy it up again. Now, what does this teach us? If you're saying that Ha'achim shehalku harehen kelekuchot, it's like they purchased, and therefore it goes back at the time of Yobel. That tells us very clearly we do not say berera. Why? If you would say berera, what would it mean? That we would ever helik the brother acquired, that was his helik retroactively of the Yerusha. And therefore that was his from the beginning. And therefore would not be considered a the kohot. That would be considered retroactive. When the father died, that was his chelik from the beginning. Now, if you say that, then you would have to divide it back into yovel. Would not go back to the original owner. It's considered a yerusha. Oh, so you see clearly Rabbi Yochanan, by yovel at least, specifically said, we don't go with bererah, therefore harein kenekuhot. Similarly in our Mishnah, we're not going to go with bererah in the fourth case, and therefore there's no reah haget over here, because bottom line, when the guy wrote to get to get written, mm-hmm. he didn't have anybody in mind. Mm-hmm. Then we don't say, well, when he decides which one, then retroactively it's going to be nishma. So all we're showing us over here from Rabbi Yochanan is he does not subscribe to the bererah. Look at Ashi, likuhoten, de'en bererah. There is no bererah. The ika lemehash. The suspicion over here is what I could say, that the chelik that he got could be that chelik really belonged to one of the other brothers. And they switched, and therefore at yovel you got to give it back. They divide it up again. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, bottom line, what do you need Rabbi Yochanan to teach me in bererah twice? You have Rabbi Yochanan teach me in bererah from our Mishnah, that the fourth case we don't employ bererah. We have the case of embererah by the case of the yovel, by the brothers dividing the properties. What do you need to be Yochanan two places to teach me embererah? So comes the Gemara and says, you need it. Meserika. Ti'i itmar beha. If you're going to tell me by the Gittin case, beha kamar Rabbi Yochanan de embererah mishum de ba'inan la lishma. Okay, by Gittin, since the Pasuk says, it's got to be Lishma, so if you don't go retroactively, at the time of the writing, it's got to be Lishma. You can't retroactively say, well, that's the one we had in mind. Good. But by the case of Yovel, the Torah said, only purchases go back in the time of Yovel. But a Yerusha, which is the case we're talking about, or a gift, not. So I would not have thought that this is even Shayach, this is Yerusha, this is a Matana. I would not even think that this is subject to the law. The Yashme'in and Sadeh. And if you'd only tell me the case of the field, Mishum de Lechumrah, I'll say, you know what? En Bererah Lechumrah. Because by not saying Bererah by the case of the Yerusha, it's a Humrah. Because what happens? En Bererah, therefore you have to say that it's like a purchase, therefore it's going to go back in your veil, so it's a stringency, that everybody's got to return the fields back to the original, to the father, and then redivide it again. So I would say maybe En Bererah, the Chumrah. Inameh Ketehila. Or I would employ the Sivara of Ketehila. Rashi, what is the Sivara of Ketehila? I'm sorry, let's read the Rashi before that. The Chumrah. Mahazirin Chumrahi. Right? Giving back to everybody in the Yovel year to return it back to the pot is considered a Chumrah. V'ina me'avi misfeka le azir le Chumrah. Aval eno posel kulahu. Which means to say that the Kohen is not pasul to his wife from Re'ah Haget is a kula. So maybe I only say en berera where it's a Chumrah. But I'm not going to say en berera in the Mishnah where it comes out of kula that the Kohen is going to be allowed to his wife. Okay? Now, ina me'. Another sivara, ketechila. Keshem shemetechila hayta belo chalukah le'ish echad. Initially, all the property belonged to the father. Right? It was belonging to one owner. Kach yachzor biyoveh le'ish echad. V'tama lav mishum de'en berera. Which I'll say, maybe the reason by the yoveh situation is not any out of en berera. Maybe it's just following the regular law. The law is, if a property was owned by one man, right? And then he sells it, or it's taken away from him. In the Yovel lot, it goes back to the original owner. Nothing to do with Embirida. Maybe just with the regular law that it's got to go back to the original owner. Ketahida. Aval hacha emalo. But here, by the case of Gittin, where it's a leniency, I might thought that they'd say that while we don't employ the law of Embirida, tzericha, to teach me, afilu lekula omrim Embirida. So let's just review, gentlemen. We have four Shitot over here on the subject of Reah Haget. Rabbi Yochanan being the most lenient, saying that all four cases in the Mishnah, the Kohen is still permissible to his wife. There is no Reah Haget. According to Ze'idi and Rav Aseh, we have three out of the four cases, no Reah Haget. But the last case, he's going to say, Yesh Berera Lechumra, and therefore it's going to be a case of Re'ah HaGet. Then you have the first Shittot that we saw is Rav and Shmuel. Rav is going to say that three out of four cases you have Re'ah HaGet, not including case number one, because that wasn't even written, Hashem Gittin. And Shmuel says all four cases are going to be Posel Kehuna because of Re'ah HaGet. Comes the Gemara and continues. Has a question. Ba'a mine Rav Hoshaya Merav Yehuda. Rav Hoshaya has a question from Rav Yehuda. Amal Lavlar. He told the Sofer, Ketov le'ezo shetetze bepetach tehila. Tells the Sofer, write a get for whatever lady comes out of the door first. Mahu. What's the law? That she says, Yeah get lishma ushmotem ayushavim. She has two wives, names are the same. So he says, you know, write a get for Rachel. And but for whatever Rachel comes out of the door first, that's the one we're going to give it to. So the Gemara wants to solve it. Rabbi Yehuda is going to solve from our Mishnah. Amar le, so Rabbi Yehuda tells the Rosh Hashaya, Tani Tuha. We learned it in the Mishnah. Yeter Mikan, right? Last case in the Mishnah. Amar le Lavlar, Ketov le Ezo She'irse Agaresh, Pasul le Garesh Bo. Right, the fourth case in the Mishnah, where the guy tells the Sofer, write it stam, you know, for whatever lady that I'm going to decide, Alma en Berera. We see it's Pasul the get. Why? Because you don't say retroactive selection. So therefore the same thing over here. When the Sofer is writing the get, he's writing Rachel, but we don't know which one. So it's not Lishma. So whatever one comes out first, you're going to say retroactively, that's the one that I meant when I wrote the get. We don't say Berera. Just like you see in the fourth case of the Mishnah. So the Moshaya is Rav Yehuda again. Guy tells the Sofer, write the get, put her name, put Rachel in the get. Yeah, because the names are the same. So you can write it already. And we're going to give it to the first one that comes out. Now the only way you can kosher up that case is if you're going to use Berera. And say what? Retroactive, we're going to say that the one that walked out, that's the one that we had in mind at the time of the ride. But we see from the Mishnah's fourth case, you don't say Berera. So Rav Yehuda says, very simple answer. It's a Beferush Mishnah. So comes the Gemara and says, Etive. So Rav Hoshaya asked him a question. He says like this, Ha'omer lebanav. It's Korban Pesach case. Guy tells his sons, Hareni shochet et ha-Pesach al mi she'ale mikem rishon Yerushalayim. He says, listen, I'm going to slaughter the Korban Pesach and I'm going to have in mind the first of my children that make it to Yerushalayim. At the time of the Shechita, I'm having that kid in mind. Okay, so he's locking them in. He says, the first guy that gets to Yerushalayim, already he's the one that I have in mind at the time of the Shechita. So the Gemara says, she says in this case over here, Al mi she'ale mikem yen nimne alav, ve'ani makne lo chelko b'shat shechita. I'll be makne him a chelik in the Korban at the time of the shechita. Kevan she'nechnas lishon, rosho verubo. Once the first guy, the first son that gets in the majority of his body, head in the majority of his body in Yerushalayim, zakha b'chelko, well he's zocheh, u'mezakeh et echav emo. And once he gets in, he's able to mezakeh his brothers to be part of the Qurban as well. We have to see exactly how that works. But what do you see from over here? You see that obviously you're working with Berera, because at the time of the Shechita, nobody was in Yerushalayim. Retroactively, when the first one comes into Yerushalayim, we say that's the one that the father had in mind. So therefore, Rav Hoshaya is asking Rav Yehuda, you're telling me in Berera, but I'll show you really Yesh Berera. Because the only way the Korban Pesach case works is by using Berera. At the time of the Shechita, nobody was in Yerushalayim. He says, the first one that comes to Yerushalayim, that's the guy I have in mind. So he doesn't have anybody in mind at that time. Retroactively, when the first guy comes in, we say that's the one that already was the Kabana. So he says, Amale. So Rav Yehuda tells him, Hoshaya Beri, Hoshaya, my son, Ma inyan Pesachim etzel Gittin. What, he asked me a question from the case of Pesachim to Gittin? Ha etmar ala Amar Rabbi Yohanan kede lezarezan b'mitzvot. The guy over here really was having all his children in mind. He wasn't blocking out anybody. It's not working with a bit at all. So why do you say the first one that gets there? He's just trying to be mezarez them. He wants to get them to be quick.
You know, he wants them to be zealous. So therefore, he tells them, hey, listen, the first guy that gets there, that's the guy I'm having in mind. In his brain, really, he's having everybody in mind. He just wants to make sure that they get there. Daika namer, he said, I'll prove it to you. Diktani kevan shenichnas rishon. Rosho v'rubo, right, once the first guy gets in, zachab b'halko, well, he's zocheh, u'mezakeh et ahiv immo. And what? And once he gets in, he's zocheh that his brothers will be part of the Qurban as well. If you say that the father included them from the beginning, that's why the brothers are in. But if you're going to say that the father never had them in mind, after Shaita, they cannot be part of it. Which means the Mishnah over there is explicit when it says that what? That the other brothers are part of the Qurban Pesach. What are you talking about? If you're learning like you learned, that he was only including one brother, how could the other brothers be part of it? Once he makes shechita, you can't include anybody else. How do we know that? Batenam nimnin, you're able to be appointed umoshkin yedehen, and you're allowed to back out of a group of Korban Pesach, mimenu, ad sheyishchat. Until it's slaughtered, which means till it's slaughtered, you're able to make a decision. Once it's slaughtered already, whoever's in is in, whoever's not in is not in. And they learn that actually from the Pesukim, because it says, V'im yima'at tabayit, im bal dehamit ulemashich mimenu mihiyot miseh. You can only yima'at, you can only back out, you can only diminish the group, mihiyot miseh, as long as it's a sheep, as long as it's still alive. Once it's slaughtered already, there's no backing out anymore, and there's no entering as well. So therefore, you see clearly that the case must be not a Benedah case, which means if Yehudah is telling you, well, Shaya, you bring me a question of in Benedah? That case of Pesach has nothing to do with Benedah. That case of Benedah, the father included everybody. He just was trying to mizarez them, and I'll prove it to you. Haraya, everybody's included at the end of the day. If it wasn't like I'm telling you, the other brothers, after the Quran Pesach, the father cannot include them. Bring your bribe that to show that we're learning correctly. Ma'aseh. Story like this, where the father made this deal. The first one that gets to Jerusalem, Ma'aseh is part of the Qurban. Vekadmu banot nebanim. The girls got there first, right, before the boys. Venimse'u benot zerizot ubanim shefelim. Turned out the girls turned out to be zealous, and the boys are like lazy. So that she says, yeah, lazy, but they're not out. Which means it doesn't say that the boys were considered, lo zochot, or lo zochim, not included. It's just that they're lazy, implying that what? Everybody's included. That means the father must add the boys, the girls, everybody's in. He just did it. Kedil is a rezan. The mitzvot comes to Gemara and says, Amar Abaye. Abaye has a question over here. He says, "Kabae mine tole bedat achelim, vekapashitle tole bedat atzmo, vehadar motivle tole bedat achelim." Now we have to go and just explain these two terminologies: tole bedat atzmo and tole bedat achelim. Those terminologies and how it relates to berera. Let's discuss the first case of Tole Bedat Atzmo. Tole Bedat Atzmo means that a person who is in control of a situation and he is able to cause the ending. He can control the result. That's Tole Bedat Atzmo. He can control the result. A classic case, in the case that we've been learning, where he can control the result, is the fourth case of our Mishnah. Tells the Sofer, write me a get, right? Stam, right? Rachel. He's married to two Rachels. Whichever one I decide to give it to, so that'll be the one that you had in mind. Right? That's if you would use the concept of Berera. Now, it's in his control to decide which one. Now, in this case, there's a big sevara to say, we're not going to say retroactive selection. You know why? Because this guy over here, if he wanted to select it at the time, he could have. It was in his control. From the fact that he didn't, so this guy over here was Safek, which means he did not know
exactly which one he was going to give it to. And therefore, we're not going to say retroactively, this is the one that he has in mind. He didn't have any of them in mind, because if he had something in mind, he could have done it, he could have chosen himself, which is a big sevarat to say, by tole bedat atzmo in bedira. However, there's another case of tole bedat achirim. Tole bedat achirim means you cannot control the result. That would be the case of what? Where he tells the sofer, write the get for Rachel, and whichever one comes out of the door first, that's the one I'm going to be megureshet to. Well, he cannot control that result. There is a bigger sevarah to say that since at the time he wasn't able to choose the result, therefore I could say he left it up to whatever was going to be, and whatever was going to happen at the end, that's what we'll say he has in his mind. Because he couldn't choose it, because it's impossible for him to make the decision. There I could maybe use a bidina. But where he had the ability to choose and he didn't, then I'm not going to say retroactive. Basically what Abaye is saying, this whole conversation between Rav Hoshaya and Rav Yehuda, he's talking about apples and he's answering him in oranges. Which means Rav Hoshaya asks a question to Rav Yehuda from a case where it's Tole Bedaat Achirim, where he's dependent, he can't control the result. That's the ladies walking out of the door. And what? Rav Yehuda answers him back from our Mishnah that's talking about a case of Tole Bedaat Atzmo. Hey, Tole Bedaat Atzmo, that's a case where he can't control. Maybe that's why there's no Bedira. But that doesn't help Rav Hoshaya's question. He was talking about a case of Tole Bedaat Achirim. And then you bring me the case of Korban Pesach. That's also a case of Tole Bedaat Achirim, where you can't control the result. So basically, Abaye is questioning the whole dialogue between the Moshe and the Yehuda, that they're talking about two different scenarios. Rashi now, Amar Abaye, Kabae mine atmuhe matma Abaye b'Rav Yehuda v'Rav Hoshaya. He's shocked. He's questioning the whole conversation. The question was, who's going to come out of the door first? Right? He's dependent on others, cannot control the result. How does the Yehuda answer him? From the fourth case of our Mishnah, whichever one I'm going to choose. Now that she gives the sevara. Dilma. Tole bedat atzmo letlan bereda. You know what is no bereda in tole bedat atzmo? The medatne beresha, when he gave his condition, initially, you know, whichever one I choose, gila bedato shaya poseyach al shtei si'ifim. He shows us that he's pulling the rope from both sides. He shows us that he's wavering. Veleka lememar, you can't say uvrar, you can't say retroactively, the meikara date dehai, because if it was da'at for that, he would choose it. Because it was in his ability to choose it. So therefore, you see that what the guy was away, he was wavering. But in the case of the way he was dependent on others, you can say the one that walked out, that was the one that he had in mind. Right? He just couldn't predict it because, you know, it's not as a control. When everyone comes out. So that's basically Abaye's question. So comes the Gemara and says, after Abaye asked this question, Vahadar motivde. You know, he gave an answer. He said like this, Tole bedat achirim. Sorry, Amar Rava. Sorry, he asked the question. Rava now comes along and says, Maikusha, Abaye, what are you asking? Dilma demandi itle berera lo shena tole bedat atzmo velo shena tole bedat acharim itle berera umadelet le berera lo shena tole bedat atzmo velo shena tole bedat acharim let le berera. Rava Kazong, it says, nice sevara to make a chiluk, but who told you, Abaye, that they make this chiluk? Maybe the shita that says yesh berera across the board, even in the case tole bedat acharim, and according to the sevara that says en berera across the board, in the case of tole bedat atzmo and bembe tole bedat acharim, which means you want to make a chiluk. He's talking about apples, he's answering oranges. No, maybe they don't make a chiluk, which is maybe they hold, if you hold bidet, I hold it in every case. So therefore they can mix and match examples, because it's either all or nothing. That's what Rava is coming on to say. Skemura says, hold it. Amar le Rav Mishayel Sharshiyah le Rava, Vehar Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda detole bedat atzmo letle berera, detole bedat aherim itle berera. What are you talking? I'll show you rabbis that do make the chiluk, namely Rabbi Yehuda. Now don't confuse, not Rabbi Yehuda that answered the question, Rabbi Yehuda. That why I'll show you a rabbi. As a matter of fact, the Gemara show us two rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda as well as Rabbi Shimon, that they do make the sivara. That when it comes to toneh bedat atzmo, no berera, but toneh bedat aharim, yes berera. So that when you do see that this chiluk is applicable, which the two cases, the Gemara says toneh bedat atzmo letle berera detanya. We have a case. Halokeyach yain miben akotim. Okay, in the olden days, before the rabbis made a gezerah on the kutim, these were these converts, they gave them a status of gede emet, true converts. Therefore, their wine was considered kosher wine. There's no problem of yayin nesek. Later on, the rabbis made a gezerah on the kutim because they realized they were really fake converts. They were gede arayot. They converted only because of fear, and they really were worshipping avodah zarah. But we're talking about you bought wine from a kuti before they made the gezerah of yayin nesek on them, and therefore the wine is drinkable. But one thing about the kutim, they're worse than an ama'aris. Ama'aris, at least you could trust him that he takes terumah. And rov ama'aris also take ma'aser rishon. However, the kutim, they don't take terumot and they don't take ma'asrot. Good. So a guy bought wine from a kutim. So very simple, he's got to take terumot and he's got to take ma'asrot. Ma'aser rishon he's got to take as well as ma'aser Shini. Problem is, he didn't have a vessel. He didn't have a vessel to separate the terumot and the ma'aserot. And he wants to drink from the wine. So is there a way to take terumot and ma'aserot from a barrel of wine, keeping everything in the barrel, and still being able to drink it? So the Gemara gives an option. Yes. How do you do it? Omer, shne login shani atid lehafrish. The two log at the end of the barrel, or whatever it is, that I'm going to eventually separate when I get a vessel, harehin tiruma. Right? So he separated two parts already for the tiruma. It's floating somewhere in the barrel. Asara ma'asir. 10% of what's in the barrel, floating ma'asir. Rishon. Tish'a ma'asir sheni. Right? And whatever's left over, 10% of the remaining, which is 9, is going to be what? Ma'asir sheni. Now in that case over there, umehal, ma'asir sheni, you're able to fix it immediately. You can say that the kiddushah of the ma'asir sheni that's inside, I'm going to transfer it to a coin. So therefore, whatever you could fix immediately, we want him to fix immediately. So ma'asir sheni is able to fix it immediately by what? Transferring the kiddushah to a coin. But what? You got a floating ma'asir rishon in there. You got a floating terumah in there. And what do we say? Drink. And what's the sivara? Vishote miyad. Rabbi Meir obviously is employing berera. That I say, eventually when he gets a vessel and he pours out the two log and he pours out the 10%, I say that was the two log of wine and the 10% of wine that he originally designated for his tiruman ma'asir, and all the other wine that he drank was considered chulin, was considered okay. That's got to use berera. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, they say, no good. Why no good? That she says, because this is a case of Toneh Bedat Atzmo. He's in control of the consequence over here. Which means, since he's in control of the consequence, right, he's taking the Terumah, it's not telling me that somebody else is going to take the Terumah for himself, the Ma'asir himself. He himself is the one that's doing the result. Obviously, you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Betoleh Bedat Atzmo, we do not say Bereda. Okay, that's fine. However, you see another case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he says, you do say Bereda. Where? Next case. Comes the Gemara and says, however, Toleh Bedat Aharim, but if you're Toleh Bedat Aharim, Itle Bereda. How do you know? Ditnan, next case. Mahi be'otan hayamin. Now we're jumping right into a Mishnah over here. What are we talking about? An interesting case. Look at the Rashi. Lekaman b'misha achazo, ze gitech me'achshav, imeti mecholi ze. Guy tells his wife, here's your get from now. If I eventually die from this
sickness. Arezeget. Imet meoto choli. Good. If he eventually dies from that sickness, it is a get. Now, the way the get's got to work over there, because we hold en get lahar mita. The get cannot work after he dies. You got to say retroactively, once the guy dies, so his wife is divorced from the beginning. But now the question is, before he dies, what is her status in between? From the time that he's sick to the time that he dies, what is her status? So that she says, Ma hei beotana yamin. So that, let's read the Gemara on that. Ditnan, Ma hei beotana yamin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harehi ke'eshet ish, dechol devareha. She's considered a married woman for all practical purposes, which means if she's a Kohen, if he's a Kohen, she can still eat teruma. She's still married to him. And if she made znut, it's considered an eshet ish that made committed znut. She's hayevet henek. She's hayevet mitat bedin. Ulchi mayit. But then once the guy dies, havi gita. Then the get is a get. Now what do you see from here? So look at Rashi. Ulchi mayit havi gita. Diktani desha. Hare ze get. Va'aydi Rabbi Yehuda b'mahi b'otana yamin. Alma. Lo palik b'resha. Not arguing on the case. Ve'lo amirinan get la'char mitav. You can't say it's a get, it's hal after mita. Keva damar me'achshav. Anyway, the guy said, you're divorced from now. Va'afagav de kesherotena get. Now, even though when the, here's the key. Even though at the time that the husband gave the get, misafka le'im yihyeh im yamut. He doesn't know if he's going to live or he's going to die. Vitala tenai, is he in control of his destiny, this guy? No. His condition is what? That she says, beda'at mi shemeto v'chayav teluim biyado. His hands are in God's hands now. His life is in God's hands. The one that controls life and death. Ukshemet. And when eventually he dies, amrinan huvrara davar. Retroactively it was understood. De mishaat nitina haya ra'uy lamut mechodize. That he was worthy really to die of that sickness. Vavidi get ma'ishata. Therefore it's a get from that time. Sha'almenat ken masru. Now, ve'en ze kish'ar tana'im she'adam matne beget she'biyado lekayimam ve'dato lekayimam kishimatne alehem u'kshinitkayem matnai havi get lemafreyat. It's not like a regular case where a guy makes a condition, you know, this is the get on the condition if I do this, this, and this, and that. Why? De'atam lav ta'ma mishum berera. That's not working with berera. That's working what? Once he fulfills the condition, the get is hal. That's not a berera situation. Aval hacha de'en biyado. Again, here, could he control the result? No. U'bish'at atnai u'sefek. At the time that he made the condition, he doesn't know if it's going to even happen or not. V'atnai mitkayem me'elav ilav mishum berera lo avi get me'hayim. You got to remember, you're playing with another factor over here. You got to make this get when he's alive. Because en get lahar mita. If the get is not going to be retroactively given, then it's not going to hit till he dies, no good. So you got to say, at the time that he was given the get, it's whole thing is a sefek. You don't know, is the guy going to live? Is the guy going to die? You don't know if the get's going to be viable or not. Retroactively, once he dies, you can't say the get happened at that moment. You got to say retroactively, that was already huvrar, that this was going to happen. That being said, what comes out? Since it was not biyado, and who's talking in this case? Rabbi Yehuda, he says, yesh berera. Oh, so what the rabbi is coming to do over here is, what are you talking about, Rabbi? You want to tell me it's across the board. If you hold berera, you hold it in every case. If you don't hold the berera, you don't hold it in any case. What are you talking about? I just showed you a rabbi called the Biyuda that splits the ticket. In the cases where it's control, tolebet atatzmo and berera. But tolebet, that's the case of the kuti, but with the wine. But the case of, it's not in his control, he holds yesh berera. So you see the sivara. And the Gemara is not only the Biyuda makes this split, but I'll show you even in the Bishimon, another rabbi does the same thing. So Gemara says, Amar le, some changes to Ravina. Le Rava, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon as well.
ותולה בדעת עצמו לת לברירה ותולה בדעת אחרים אית לברירה. Not a rabbi that makes the split. תולה בדעת עצמו לת לברירה הד אמרן. Rabbi Shimon was also the case of the wine. He was talking with Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of the wine, we say what? He cannot split the cannot make the terumah in the barrel, right? Because in berira, toleh bedat harim itne berira. Where do we see Rabbi Shimon when it's toleh bedat harim? New case. The Tanya, hareni bo alayich. Guy tells a lady, I'm going to have a bi'ah with you, al minach for the sake of kiddushin, al minach yirtze abba. On the condition that your father agrees. He's going to have to be at first. And then if the father agrees, this was a kiddushin. The father doesn't agree. Then it was maybe a znut. So it says, afal pi shelo ratza ha'av. First shita says, even though the father at the end said, I'm against it, mikudeshit. You know why? Because the first shita holds a very important rule. En adam oseh bi'ilotav bi'ilat zenut. We got to assume a guy doesn't want his be'ilot to be znut. And therefore, even though he made that condition, his intention was l'shem kiddushin regardless. Therefore, even though he stipulated what I said, listen, if your father accepts his be'ah, it's going to be for kiddushin. Now the father comes along and says, after the situation, I'm against it. Mekudesh it. You know why? Because the guy, when he went into this, he knew already there's a chance that the father's going to say no. And if the father says no, what? It's going to be a be'ah znut? That's the first shita. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ratza ha'av mekudeshet, lo ratza ha'av ena mekudeshet. Basically, what he's saying is berera, which means he makes the bi'ah. At the time of the bi'ah, we don't know what the situation is going to be. It's going to be mekudeshet or not. It's pending. Once the father comes along and says, I agree, retroactively we say that bi'ah was l'shem kiddushin. Or if the father says no, what does the bishamon say? Retroactively we say the kiddushin was not a kiddushin, and he doesn't care about bi'ilat zinut. But basically, what do you see? That the bishamon, now again, is this his control? To control the result? Of course not. It's the father. It's out of his control. So you see, betoleh bedat acherim, he is indeed going to say, yesh bi'ilah. So basically, what the Gemara is just trying to show us over here, you see that what? Back to the story of Rav Hoshaya and Rav Yehuda. Rav Hoshaya asked the question regarding Berira from a case. The first lady comes out of the door. That's a case of what? Talui Bedat Acherim. Rav Yehuda answered him from a case of the Mishnah. That's a case of Toleh Bedat Atzmo. You know, whatever one I'm going to decide. So Abaye came along and said, I don't know what you're talking about over here. You're talking apples and oranges. He's talking about Toleh Bedat Acherim. He's talking about Toleh Bedat Atzmo. It's different. Rav Ha comes along and says, what are you talking about? It's across the board. If you hold it, you hold it. If you don't hold it, you don't hold it. Kibbutz says, not so. You see clearly that there's a chiluk. Rabbi Yehuda made a chiluk. By the case of the kuti, or the wine case, and the case of the conditional get if he dies, and the Bishamon made a chiluk, by the kuti case, and the case over here of the hanini bo'alaych, the shimka, the shimka, your father agrees, so they do make a chiluk. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le, ben Rabbi Yehuda, ben Rabbi Shimon, לא שינה תולה בדעת עצמו ולא שינה תולה בדעת אחרים איתלה ברירה. You know what? You learned it wrong. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, they hold ברירה across the board. That's why in the case of the Kiddushin, he holds ברירה if the father agrees. Yeah, it's a Kiddushin, if the father doesn't agree, and it's not. That's why in the case over there, if the guy eventually dies from the disease that he stipulated from the beginning, yes, berera, that's why you're retroactive to get to say, get. Are you going to ask me from the case of the wine? Geez, if they hold yes, berera, why did the Biyuda, the Bishimon say that you can't make the stipulation when you buy the wine from the goy and say, the two log that I eventually separate, that'll be terumah, 10% will be maser, and all that. Why can't you do it? If you hold yes, berera, so you should be saying in that case also. That's a different reason. Hatam kediktani ta'ama amnu lo Rabbi Meir iatam ode shema yibaka hanod v'nimsa ze shotet tevalin lemafreya. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon told Rabbi Meir, we agree with Berera, but you got to admit to us there's a concern we have. What's the concern? The guy's going to do this business. The two logar teruman, all that business there. And then what's going to happen? He's going to start drinking the wine. What happens if the barrel breaks? comes out, he never took his terumot, never took the ma'asot, he drank tevalim lemafreya. So they come along and say, very nice, bererah, but you're not dealing with an issue over here. The guy's carrying a barrel. If that barrel breaks, he's in trouble. So therefore, it's not with bererah, it's a stomach gezerah, shema yibakanot. Tanat Rabbi Meir comes back and says, amar lehem, l'kshi yibaka. When it breaks, we'll worry about it. Which means, we don't hoshesh that it's going to break. If it breaks, you're right, the guy got stuck. But until it breaks, there's nothing to worry about. Look at Rashi, the last Rashi before the Mishnah. You're right. If it broke, the guy, we can't help him. The guy drank tevalim. It is not shechiyah. So therefore, basically, the Gemara is coming along to say, if you hold it, you hold it. If you don't hold it, you don't hold it. Therefore, the conversation between Rav Hoshaya and Rabbi and Rav Yehuda was, even though they were talking about two different cases, it really doesn't make a difference in the subject of Bererah itself. Baruch Anu Adi Olam. Amen. Amen.